Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 104 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Cole Desi.
And Mark Vila here from Coleman & Company, and we're continuing on with our marketing plan episodes, and today is the four emails you should be sending.
Yeah, so last episode we covered kind of lead capture or email capture and how to do that, how to get people's emails, email addresses, why you should get people's email addresses. Mm-hmm. This episode just makes sense. We're going to tell you what to do with those.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And it's the tricky part, isn't it? Because when somebody, we just had a conversation with a customer this week, right?
Yeah.
And many of you are thinking this, listening to this. I got somebody's email address. I don't want to bother them. I don't want to be that.
Oh, man.
I don't want to be that person who bothers people via email. That type of a thought process. And hopefully, this episode
yes.
about emails.
Yes, we'll send you an email too.
Yes.
Just
will help to ease that
yeah.
from you because what everybody doesn't want to be, what all the things that people sometimes don't like about different shopping experiences are actually things that work really well. So nobody
right.
wants the pushy salesman, but the pushy salesman is
that
the
store makes more money.
Who makes the most
yeah,
money.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to bother anybody with emails, but if you send out some emails, you're going to make some more money.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to get a soliciting phone call. But companies who make soliciting phone calls make money off those phone calls.
Yeah.
So all those things work.
Right.
We're going to show you, I think, a way that you can uphold the values of not wanting to be an email harasser
right.
and still make money from them.
Yeah, I love the way you said that.
Okay.
That was great. And, we also want to, one of the reasons that we want to do this kind of four email strategy mm-hmm. is to remove the excuse that you're thinking of right now in your head for not doing emails.
Yeah.
Right? So that was a long conversation I had just the other day, is we're talking about different marketing ideas and I really don't want to do that. And three or four times that customer came back with different rationales in their head why they didn't want to send people emails.
Mm-hmm.
So let all that go, okay? So we'll make an agreement with you that you should send emails on our recommendation
yep.
until someone tells you to piss off. Okay, how about that? How about like the worst actually happens, but you send emails and you make a lot of money until that happens?
Anybody who tells you to piss off from an email
yes.
is probably 99% sure never going to have given you any money anyway.
Yes, we get those responses
yeah.
here at Cold Desi.
Yeah. And then I look it up and it's never somebody who's ever bought anything. It's
yeah.
never, every once in a while it's going to be one of your customers, but they were a jerk in the first place probably.
oh,
I mean, that's really
man.
Just honestly what it is.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Because,
I love it when we tell the truth.
Because normal people don't respond like that,
yeah,
right? I mean,
that's right.
Most of your customers are normal, nice folks. And what are they going to do with your email? They're going to read it and enjoy it.
Right.
Delete it. Skip yeah. over it and just send that perpetual 14,000 unopened emails. Or click the unsubscribe button. That's 99.9% of people.
Yes, I
so,
agree.
And give them that choice.
If you want to go way out of your way, and I think I'll give my tip up front.
Okay.
If you want to go way out of your way so you feel really bad about bothering people. In other words, like when you used to go trick-or-treating, you would just stand outside somebody's door until they opened it. You wouldn't actually say trick or treat because you didn't want to bug them. If you're that kind of a person there, if you're using like MailChimp or Constant Contact or any good email software, there is an unsubscribe link that's required in those emails.
Yeah.
All you have to do is move it to the top of the email. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that person sees when they open up the email is the opportunity to never hear from you again.
Yeah, and there's plenty of rationale to do that. And I think maybe that's... We could probably do a whole episode about those type of thoughts.
Right.
But the purpose of our last podcast, one of the main takeaways was that you want to get people on your email list who'd be interested in receiving some emails from you.
Yeah.
So these are going to include potential customers, customers, people within your niche. And now that we've got their email addresses, let's go ahead and dive into four different emails you've got to send.
I agree. And I think the email number one is one of the most important.
Yeah.
Because the first time somebody hears from you, that's normally when they're going to make the initial decision like, wow, I really regretted signing up for that list.
Yeah.
Or they're going to, you know, you're going to capture their attention. They're going to learn a little bit more about you and maybe become a customer.
Yeah. So the first thing you do is you do that introduction email.
Yeah.
And so this means when they first get on your email list.
Right.
Right. So how do they get on your email list? We talked about lead magnets.
Yes.
About signing up customers, people being at like your booth at a show or something like that, or a table at an event you went to. Sign up form on your website,
right.
Facebook sign up form. They ended up on your email address, and you've got to send them like a welcome email.
Yeah. So, and this first email is, you know, somewhat while your list is small enough, it's going to depend on how they got onto your list mm-hmm. to a certain extent. So, in other words, if you promise them a guide to washing T-shirts so they'll last forever, then that should be in that email,
mm-hmm.
right? You should reference it or make sure that they get it. Other than that, we're gonna go over these 5 points that should be in all of them.
Yep. So the first one is delivering the information you promised.
Yeah.
You promised a guide, a link to a video, you promised a coupon code,
right.
Something like that. You promised a special offer. That's going to be in that email.
Yeah, and this is a trust builder right here, really. You can't, you know... you can't promise them something, and then when they hear from you, you don't mention it.
Yeah.
Right? Because then they don't trust you anymore.
Yeah, we've got a coupon sign up on the Coleman & Company website.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sign up for it, within a minute, you've got, hey, thanks for signing up. Here's the coupon code.
Yes.
And then in addition to delivering what you may have promised, you also may have not promised anything, and then you could just obviously not include that.
Anything, right?
you may, instead of that, or in addition to that, thank them for visiting your website or seeing your store in person or signing up for a newsletter or purchasing something
from
you.
Yeah, because what you're doing there is you're really just, you know, you're acknowledging that they trust you enough to give you the correct email address, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, hey, thank you for trusting me. You know, here's what I promised I would do.
Yep.
You know, so you can still trust me.
Yeah, and right. it's relationship building. It's also just being kind,
yes.
you know, in a weird way. It's electronic communication, but if you purchase things online and or you've signed up for email lists, we know the difference of when you buy something from a company and you get an email that says, hey, thanks, we really appreciate you,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it might be. So that's what you're trying to do there. You're just building a further relationship with your customer.
Agreed. And what you really want to make sure that you put in there is don't overlook, even if they found you on your website
mm-hmm.
or your social media page or came to your event, still remind them of how to contact you.
Mm-hmm.
So because there may be some time, you know, maybe they were busy. Maybe they didn't remember giving you their email address. Maybe they went to 15 websites that day and they signed up for all of them. You know, so what you want to make sure of is that you say something like, hey, this is Mark from Coldesi. Thanks for coming by the booth at the trade show, or thanks for visiting the website. Just as a quick reminder, here.
Yeah.
This is my website address. This is where to go.
Yeah. If you want to call me, here's my phone number or the phone number to our store. If you have any other methods you want them to communicate, a great way to reach us is via Twitter. You know, whatever ways you want them to communicate, let them know all the ways you can communicate. And this can be in whatever format you want.
Yeah. I mean, I would say except for Twitter.
Yeah. Some people... That's what they want.
That's not true.
We go to these social media conferences, and none of them want you to email them.
None of those are real people.
They're not real.
I don't know.
They're robots.
They all have beards like yours, but they're wearing sweater vests.
They are.
You know, and round glasses.
Round glasses. Those are all true. They all want to be tweeted. But if that's what you want, or if you like to communicate on Facebook Messenger, you can even say, go to my Facebook page and you can PM me. Whatever you want to do, just say it.
Yeah.
This is how you reach me, because your customers are, at any given point in time, they're going to want something from you, whether it's a question or a thought or to buy something new. And if they're struggling to reach you,
mm-hmm.
especially in in the method that they would prefer, they might go somewhere else. Yeah, so make sure they know how to reach you in the future.
And definitely, you know, make sure you're not just giving someone your email address or your Facebook profile and you assume that they're going to click on that and learn everything about you. Right, you've got to include some of that in your email. A really brief summary of who you are and what you do at that point is great as an addition to the reminder.
And it could be that brief summary, I think, can go a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. So it could just be your custom t-shirt source. And, and it's just a sentence, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's enough. It explains enough. It might be a very relatable to your niche. So, you know, all apparel for, you know, fishing and boating.
Or it could be something that's very personal. Like, I really love our, the first email that you get from us normally is an email from Scott Coleman.
Yeah.
The president of the company. And it kind of tells a story about it. He and his dad worked together, you know, in the embroidery business. And then he went out on his own and kind of the history of the company. And you know, that informs the rest of the communication between us.
Yeah.
Right? So you could do something like that as well if your story is relevant.
Yeah, so you could have like a paragraph of information, you know, essentially, whether it's a letter from you telling your story or just here's a list of all the different things that we do.
Yep.
And these can also be followed up with lots of interesting ways to do that. You can link to them on your website. We have some of that stuff in our Coleman & Company emails. It's like, hey, By the way, here's a bunch of our most popular products. And
right.
We list 5 or 6 products and we have links because we know folks who signed up are likely to want, need, or be interested in those products.
Yeah.
If you don't tell them it's there, they'll never know.
Right. And one thing, a couple things that we didn't cover in here that I just remembered is that the two of the most important parts of your email are going to be the first sentence to make sure that they read more. And your signature line and what's under it.
Yeah.
So that people will always so don't feel bad. I thought of that. Don't feel bad for writing that paragraph about your story or your business or something that will make you more relatable because people are going to skip that anyway.
You know what I mean? Plenty of people will. Yeah.
A lot of people are going to skip that, and the ones that are interested though will read it. And they'll buy in more.
Yeah, and then what you'll do with an email is if you're trying to reach somebody, you open up an email and you hit reply.
Yeah.
Right? That's one thing you
do.
Or you scroll all the way to the bottom real quick and you're looking for a phone number you can tap,
yes,
or an email you can tap, or a website you can click on. So having a little signature for whether it's your name or your company, and then right there at the bottom, phone number, email, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to do, you can have a short little list under your name.
Or what you could do is you could copy and paste the URL for this episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
Put that in your signature.
That's a good idea.
Because that's what we do here. If you've got an email from Coleman & Company or Cold SC recently, in the signature lines, there's typically a link to the Custom Apparel Startups podcast.
I like that. I hope people are clicking it.
I think they are. both people are listening now.
So we've got our first one, your intro and your welcome email. It's like a no-brainer
email. Yeah, it's the easiest one.
But I have signed up for emails and never gotten anything.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's important to remember. Yeah, it's important
really
to remember
is.
To do that.
Yeah.
So email number two.
Email
Go
number
ahead.
Two. Now, the following are kind of examples of other emails. The intro and welcome email, you've got to do that, right? The others are example of other emails and topics that you might send to keep people interested, to make money from their interest, and just to stay in touch over time.
Yep, and I think that the next few emails, no matter what your niche or business is, I can make a case that you have to send all of these.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So.
And by the way, if you struggle with any of this, you can drop us a note.
An email?
Yeah, an email.
Okay,
you could
sure.
send us
Why
an
not?
Email. Or you could actually, you know, write a note and put it in the mail.
Yeah.
I've never gotten mail. Here. I've never gotten like a personal letter.
No.
It's weird. Okay, so email number two is going to be about a new product. Now, you want to flesh that out for us a little bit
more?
Sure.
So this email, a new product email is typically what it's going to go out in, it's like a batch and a blast type as we'd refer to as
right.
an email. It's just some news arises that you have a new product. You're going to go to your email list, pick it, write an email and send it out. All of them.
Yeah.
And that can, these can be planned because you know new products are coming out, or they might happen on a whim. But this is different than that welcome email that's automated. That welcome email typically can be automated. In the beginning, you might be manually typing it out or something like that. But when somebody signs up for that coupon, it automatically is going to go out. You're not going to get a list of all the people who signed up for your coupon
and then send them an email by one.
You know, that's that. You could do that automated for free nowadays.
Right.
So the new product email is going to be something like, there's a new style of shirt that you like from Fruit of the Loom.
Right.
That works well with how you decorate, and you want to tell folks.
Yeah,
it's new style, new colors.
I would recommend that you're on the Coleman & Company email list, and that you look at new product emails from Coleman & Company, because I think those are structured really well and they look really good. So, you know, you can follow that kind of a formula, but, you know, and if you're on our email list, you know, if we have a new machine or a new color of vinyl or, you know, any new embroidery supplies that you can get from ColemanAndCompany.com, that those are emails that we will send out immediately. It's great news because it gives somebody another reason to focus on you and your business.
Yeah, and you might also have a new technology brought on board.
Right.
So if you're listening to this and you've been doing vinyl for a while, and you just got a new embroidery machine or digital heat effects printer or UV printer or something like that, then you need to let all your customers know that you offer this.
Yeah. Now. Well, and like you've got some great examples with, you know, Fruit of the Loom and the shirts. Their Jersey brand, there's a really cool heather shirt that's been floating around. We used it in a few of the spangle and vinyl videos. I mean, it feels great. It looks really beautiful. Like, if I was bringing that in as one of my shirts, I would definitely, you know, maybe do a quick little video or description or something about that new material and send it out to people.
Yeah, and you talk about it and talk about the benefits. Are you sick of just buying t-shirts with, you know, with your company's logo on it that are just a square box t-shirt?
Yeah.
Some folks want, you know, fitted or fashion style, and here's a couple of new ones that we've brought on board that we're happy to put your logo on.
Yeah, and also you don't have to be, Home Depot, or you don't have to be Apple when you're sending out these letters, and be very formal. If you have a small business and you're in a niche, you speak their language. You know, like, I just got this new wicking vented camping shirt. I wore it. It's amazing. You know, I think you might want to take a look. Here's a link to my website.
Sounds great. If you have any new product offering falls into this. So we mentioned if you have a new technology you brought on board to decorate, if you've never done caps before, and you've always just embroidered on polos and woven shirts, and then you finally decided to learn how to do caps and now you're excited to offer it, let your customers know that you do caps. I can put all the logos I've put on your polos on caps now.
Right. And that's a big one. New technology allows you to do a couple of different things, because normally if you add a decorator method, you're also adding capabilities. So you used to do vinyl and now you have a digital heat effect system, so you can advertise, hey, I've got this great new ability to do full color.
Yeah.
You know, things like that are a big win for your business.
And you've also, if you have an online store, you might actually sell individual designs. You know, like, you actually have a store where you have new t-shirts and you're selling just t-shirt designs or cap designs, whether, you know, fashion, funny shirts, whatever they might be.
Yep.
You can send out new product, and you should be sending out new product emails like this every time you have a new design, or if they're regular, every week.
Yep.
If you have new designs that go up every Sunday, then every Sunday you should have an email goes that here's all the new designs.
I agree. If you are like a branded shirt company, like you do inspirational sayings or funny stuff, or, you know, you do biker shirts, or if you have a specific thing like that where you're coming up with the material, then yeah, you should be cranking out new designs all the time and relying on the buzz that comes from that. You know, because if you do a new design email, that you have an opportunity that someone will share that, and that's a great way to get a new customer.
Yeah. I know, it reminds me actually of this. Maybe one day he'll listen to this podcast.
Okay.
But this guy that I went to university with in my fraternity, I just found out yesterday that he has an aviation t-shirt company he started.
Okay.
Because he's been a pilot for I don't know how long now. Very, very long, I don't think. Years, maybe. And he decided to make some cool designs and stuff like that. And he has this little store. So I'm going to tell him to listen to the podcast.
That's great.
So maybe in like 100 hours from after I tell him, he'll get to this episode and he'll hear me.
Tell him to start it like episode 3 and say, we mention you in one of these episodes.
Yes. So good luck with that, Mike. I'm going to check out his website after this, though. I meant to do it, just reminded me. But when I'm thinking of him in that example is, if he has a limited number of designs and he comes out with a new design, he's got to have people, when they come to his website, like I did last night, you know, receive a pop-up or something like that, receive a notification to sign up. So when he comes out with that new design, you know, hey, look what just flew in.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Great.
That's good.
It's good stuff. And that's also, you know, maybe that's one of the motivations for people that signed up for your email list in the first place.
Yeah.
Is, you know, hey, we've got a lot of great t-shirt designs. I'm sure you'll love them. But we come up with new things on a regular basis. Sign up and we'll send them to you. This is it.
Yep.
Now, I added one at the last minute here.
Okay.
And that was because it's kind of new product related, but it's not announcing that you have a new product. It's asking your customer base what product you would like, that they would like you to develop.
Okay, yeah.
I had trouble with that sentence.
So essentially, you are asking your customers, you know, hey, winter is coming. What are some things that you would love to have your logo on?
Yeah, that's great.
And then they'll respond back, you know, oh, I thought it'd be cool to have a scarf or a beanie cap or, you know, long sleeve fitted t-shirts, whatever that might be, they're going to give you some ideas.
Yeah, and what's great about it is if you get more than one person that replies and they have the same suggestion, you kind of have a built-in customer for whatever you do.
But then when you,
you know they're going to sell it.
Yeah. If three people say a scarf was a good idea, you can even suggest ideas.
Yeah.
Here's a list of 10 ideas, which ones are good. If three or four people out of maybe even it's a small list, you know, you send it out to 100 people and 4 people say scarf.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, then there are a lot more other people who didn't respond to the email or bother to participate that would agree with them. And you kind of look at them as a sample size.
I agree. And so, like, just in this email number 2 here, the new product email, you know, we do have people that that come to us and they just don't know what they're going to say in their emails. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I send? You could just do this section.
Yeah.
And it should keep you busy.
I struggle with this part, too, because, you know, we at Coleman & Company, we have lots of different new products that come out. But sometimes they don't feel relevant. You know, like, we got in, three different sizes available now in like a bottle of oil.
Yeah, that's
it's
a
like,
tough one.
And it seems like boring to you. So, you know, look for inspiration within your product lines. And sometimes you can struggle like, I don't have anything new.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say that you as a apparel, you know, supplier and a custom apparel maker, you do because wherever you buy your apparel from, they come out with new stuff every season.
Right.
So they're going to come out with new styles of polos, new styles of t-shirts.
Sanmar does these amazing seasonal and niche market catalogs that you can see online or you can order. And, man, I'm telling you, you could tear a page out of one of those every week and find something else to talk about.
So if they offer, and of course you want to make sure you can decorate on that item with your technology.
Right.
You know, but it also could just be, sometimes you go look at their old stuff too, because it could be new to you.
Right.
So if you've always used one brand of t-shirt, look for something that's completely different, whether it's like a V-neck maybe, or a different material, or a different thickness, or whatever it might be. Maybe you've never decorated on it before. Get a sample from the company you buy from. Decorate it.
Yep.
Make sure it looks good. Take a picture of it. And then you could say, hey, I just brought on this brand new long sleeve V-neck shirt,
yep,
a little bit of a different style that might be perfect for your organization. And there's tens of thousands of products, you know, that you can decorate, and you've probably only done a really small number of them. So if it's not something new to the world, it could be something that's been around for a while that you've never used before.
Yep, agreed.
So take advantage of that.
That's good. And I think so. In the note you have here, the frequency of the email depends on your store. I also wanted to say, while you should be doing all of these emails, the world will not crumble if you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, if you want to send out 4 emails a month or 5 emails a month, and you know, we're struggling for looking for new products and things like that, if you just don't have it for that month, then that's okay.
Yeah, and
you've
and
got
you also,
other things going on.
It might be seasonal for you, you know, so right. you might, if you do a lot of sports stuff, it might just be every time, you know, every time a new season hits,
right.
baseball, football.
Yep.
If you do fishing, you know, maybe it's a different season of when different times of the year, when different fish come
right.
out, different designs.
But it is important to be, to do these emails and to stay in front of your email list on a regular basis, because if too much time goes by and you haven't emailed, they'll forget you.
Yeah, you don't
and then
want
you'll be starting over again. You don't want that.
Yes, absolutely. So that's it. Just new products.
Yeah.
New products to you or new products to the world, whatever
yep.
it is, and those could be designs, all of that. So I think this is a great one. It's an exercise for your creativity,
yep.
and it keeps yourself in front of your customer. It also lets them know that you enjoy innovating
okay.
in a way. So you're not the t-shirt shop that's going to offer the same stale square t-shirt,
right.
that same, you know, Gildan style that's been available since 1990, which is fine to have that and sell those. Plenty of people want
them. If you want a shirt that weighs 8 pounds.
You know, yeah. plenty of people want that stuff.
Yeah.
But if they see, you know, then they're going to think of you like, gosh, that one store, I know there's a few shops in town, but that one, they've always got new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
call them out because I'm sure that they're going to have something that I really want, because I don't just want the plain t-shirt that I've always seen.
Right.
I want something that's a little nicer or different.
And, you know, if you're lucky, everybody else in town will use crappy t-shirts that don't feel nice, and you'll be the
there
one that
go.
Does.
You win. So, email number 3.
Sales, promotions, and events. This one I like because now you're really into kind of the traditional marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sales, promotions, advertising, marketing.
So the only way your customers are going to know if you have a sale, a promotion, or an event is if you tell them.
Yes.
If you don't tell them, then there's no way for them to know. Right?
That's true. And email is a good way to tell them.
And email is
like
a
that.
Simple way to do it. You can reach all of your customers at once.
Yes.
You could literally do it just by typing out a few sentences and hitting go.
Right.
So it's really quick. It's free.
Yep.
Depending on your email size, you know, you might not be paying anything for your email service if your list is small enough.
Yep.
So in the beginning, it's like, this is a great free way to let people know what you got going on.
I like that. And so I'm going to work backwards a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, work backwards.
Because what most people wouldn't do, that most people understand sales and promotions and things mm-hmm. like that, but the events is a different story.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So if you are, especially if you're in a niche market and you do their events, you go to their shows, super important that you add that to your email list. If you are in the fishing niche and you are going to have a booth, you're doing shirts for a tournament that's happening in Tarpon Springs, then you want to make sure that everyone on your list knows that you're doing that event, and maybe you even have some pictures of the shirts there.
Yeah.
So they'll know you're there, they'll seek you out, and if they like, it'll do a couple things. If they like what you post that you're going to sell at the show, maybe they'll pre-order.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll get some business for people that are not going to that event because they see, hey, the Tarpon Springs Big Fishing event in your email, and then they realize, oh, it's the t-shirt guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's selling there, because I was going to go, I can't make it, but I'll buy the t-shirt.
And the event thing is cool, too, because it keeps you relevant to them, because there are so many... There are so many events going on everywhere,
yeah.
every weekend, that it's really hard to even know all the things that are happening.
Right.
So if you sell like those fishing t-shirts you mentioned, and you're in that niche, and you email to
yeah.
let people know, you might be the one that told them that event is happening.
And, yeah.
Which now you're like, now in addition to a custom apparel provider,
yeah.
you're like a source of news.
You're their friend now.
And I didn't even know that was going.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm going to show up. And then maybe in thank you, they'll buy something from you, because they're grateful that you found out because of you. So there's a lot of cool things that can happen with
Absolutely.
that.
Absolutely. But, you know, really at Cold Essing and Coleman & Company, sales and promotional emails, these are in our wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what you'll notice is you've got some great examples that I love, you know, that you actually have developed a promotion. Buy 10, get one free.
Mm-hmm.
You're following the advice in probably 80% of our other podcasts, and you are going to include something free with an order or a discount with an order for something that they wouldn't normally buy.
Yeah,
or so, that's a new product.
So get a dozen koozies if you, you know, if you spend X amount of dollars.
Right.
You know, get a free hat with every 10 polos.
Yes.
You know, things like that. So you can offer these little promos. Think of, you know, just get creative with them, try them out. You'll see which ones that seem to make sense to your customer base.
And the point isn't to give away a hat or give away a polo or koozies or anything like that. The point is to train them to order those things the next time they order.
Yeah.
And to make sure that they're aware that you do these other things.
Yeah, and generate some excitement for them that they're just like, oh, you know what? They get the email. I mean, the classic thing would be that they see this email. They're at their office because you do, you know, some corporate wear. They look, the one guy looks at the next guy and sees his shirt's kind of old and the collar's all wrinkled up.
Yep.
And then he looks down on his at his and he's like, you know what? Let's buy a round of shirts.
Right.
They're doing two free hats for every 10. Let's just get 10 shirts, 5 a piece.
Yep.
And then we'll get a couple hats. And then boom, you know, you inspired somebody to do something that they weren't thinking that they were going to do at that moment.
Yeah.
And especially if they needed it, they're going to jump on it. So,
I like this one that you put down where your apparel supplier has specific shirts on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is great for if you're like me and you don't have a lot of imagination.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So what you can do is whoever you use for your wholesale blanks, they have closeouts all the time. They have too many in a warehouse, styles are changing. What you can do is, and they'll discount the price. So for example, a shirt that was normally $3.49 for a case might be down to $1.95. And you can use that as an excuse for a sale and pass on that savings straight out.
Yeah, and it might only be, you know, $2 you save.
Yeah.
But if your customer is spending $20 on a shirt and you can pass on a $2 savings, it's a 10%.
Yeah.
You know, times 100 shirts, you know, whatever it might be, you know, it can add up to them.
Yep.
So, and a 10% is a reasonable savings, I think, to talk about.
And you've got a built-in scarcity because what you can say, hey, my supplier has a certain number of these closeout shirts or is running a short-term sale on these items. If you order while they're in stock, I can save you 10% on your overall order.
Yeah.
You know, so you didn't even have to think about that. The company that is providing me with blanks is going, hey, we're having a sale. And you're going to your customers, hey, we're having a sale.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it gives you another reason to be in front of somebody. They may try out a new item that they would not have otherwise not tried. Mm-hmm. And you'll get the chance to, you know, to sell a few shirts.
And they're going to have these sales every few
all
weeks,
the time.
Months.
Yeah, all
so
the time.
It's just, it's like a freebie idea for you. Every time they do it,
I really
you
like
pass
that.
Along. So let's see. And then there's some other kind of standard things that you're going to do. Offer free shipping on particular shirts if you sell shirts online. Do like a BOGO or a buy two, get one, you know, type of thing. Or buy two shirts and get a hat for $5.
Yeah.
Any of these like typical sales that you see at regular retail stores, you can do those same type of things.
Yeah, just do yourself a favor and make sure you do the math to make sure it works out in your advantage to your advantage too.
For sure. And with that math, go back and consider like customer lifetime value.
Yeah.
Because if you have an opportunity to get a brand new customer to buy from you once, maybe you're not making very much money on that initial shirt, but you know that over the course of a year, your customers will buy X many shirts. So it's worth it. So another reason to go back and listen to some of those customer lifetime value episodes.
Yeah. And we talked about, you know, maybe you do something in combination with an event announcement, like you have here. If you've got a booth at an upcoming event, maybe you don't just send an email out that you're going to be there, but that you're offering the show discount there.
Yeah, great. And then you could have local events too, store grand opening, grand reopening. We put an idea down of bring your kids to make shirts at the store where you can bring kids in and they can watch getting their shirts made.
They can find out how hot the heat press really gets.
Yes. So anything like that, sales, promos, events, get creative with them. And this is something that you can send out almost as frequently as you want, as makes sense.
Yeah. By the way, there it used to be that there were a certain number of emails that that were recommended per week. Mm-hmm. You know, that used to be there, and the latest research found that there's almost no limit. That yeah. people just don't unsubscribe to things anymore. And even if you are subscribed to any of the magazine email lists, you'll notice the e-news now comes every day or every 2 days, mm-hmm. where it used to come like once a week or once a month.
Yeah, so
no downside.
You can go as often as you want. I think that the simple rule on that is that you go as often as your emails can make sense with the content.
Yeah, and quality.
Yeah, and the quality. So you don't want to send something out that doesn't make any sense, because that's when people will take the time to unsubscribe and delete. But if you're providing valuable content and information to them,
yes.
every time it comes out, like we mentioned in the last episode, even if today's email wasn't that valuable. They've gotten valuable emails in the past, and
right.
as long as you eventually deliver some more value, then one out of every so many emails are going to love.
So funny you should mention value.
Sure.
Because email number four, type of email number four, is infotainment. Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, it was
that
segue.
Was great. That was great. That was great.
All right. So speaking of value, infotainment. Tell me about that word.
Okay. So. It's the kind of TV shows I like
okay.
to watch, right? So there, you know, it's something like I watched Blown Away, a Netflix TV show with a glassmakers, glassblowers competition,
okay.
right? I learned a
different
lot.
Different than I thought. It was.
I learned a lot, and it was very entertaining to watch. So that's kind of what we're proposing here on a business level, mm. is that one of the types of emails that you sent out are designed to inform your audience.
Mm-hmm. Inform, entertain,
yeah.
both. So here's a few that we've got. How to wash apparel to get the best life out of it.
Yeah, we had a podcast with Monty Mims from Sanmar,
yeah.
and he shocked the in-house audience. when he said that, like, the need to separate darks and lights when you wash is not as important as separating synthetic and naturals.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, and just like how fabric softener is going to ruin a synthetic shirt pretty
right.
much. Fabric softener is going to make a synthetic shirt stink.
Yeah.
Badly. Which, that you know,
that's a great, that is a great tip.
Yeah.
So that's something that would be really valuable to your customers. You send out, if you're using Digital Heat FX, and you're doing like breathable golf polos, you know, then you're going to want to make sure that your customers know how to wash that properly.
Yeah.
So it'll last forever. Send them an email.
And as long, just find things that are going to make sense to your niche group. So if you sell to, who you sell to is mainly like leaders, you know, like coaches
yeah.
and coaches and teachers and people within a company that buy all the shirts for everybody. So if all of your customers are, the person you're dealing with is the person who handles the bulk sales,
yeah.
then you could do a little article or a video on do's and don'ts for picking shirt sizes and working with bulk orders. Give them tips on how to collect sizes from everybody or how to collect money from everybody or whatever it might be.
Yeah, now I want to divide things up here because this doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a writer and
okay.
you don't have to do a long form article for these things. That's great.
Yeah.
And that's very engaging and you should do that if you can. If you can't, I just told you the story about how the guy from Sanmar told us about
yeah.
washing synthetics. You could put that in an email. Say, hey, quick note, I was just listening to a podcast, and I learned something really important I wanted to pass on. If you have gotten any of our synthetic material shirts, polyester, you know, whatever it is, then don't use softener with mm-hmm. those, and they'll smell better long term.
Yeah.
And that's a great email. Like, you're giving a lot of value to your customers, but you're not spending 3 weeks, you know, trying to pick the right picture
yeah.
or if you spelled their
line.
You don't
have to put a massive amount of effort
right.
into
you
it.
You should put some,
yeah.
but you don't not send an email because you can't find the right picture.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely. Put something together for them. If you do custom t-shirt design, you could do how to properly design a t-shirt, how to manage a fundraising event. You know, if you have some experience with that and you deal with customers that do fundraising
t-shirts. That's a great kind of thing depending on your niche,
mm-hmm.
right? You participate in your niche, and if you have information that'll help with that, you know, yep. then pass it on.
Others are a little bit of a different thought, but watch me make 100 hats. And how yours could be next. And maybe you just shoot a video of you just making a bunch of hats and you put it on YouTube.
I love that. Have somebody point the phone or you point it at yourself while you're heat pressing a transfer onto a shirt. That would be dangerous.
Yeah.
Got your one hand.
I've done it.
Yeah. So you could do that. Say, hey, a lot of people have been asking me, how do I make my shirts? You know, this is one of the ways. I have a commercial heat press unit,
yeah.
And you know all this stuff, and you know here's a shirt. Congratulations, buy from me.
So, the one you mentioned, which I liked a lot, was I'll take.
Yeah, it do it.
it's just like news.
Yeah,
like actually sharing news.
But in your niche.
Something like that. In your niche.
Right.
So, like fishing, we talked about. If there's a new law that comes into play in your state or something like that, you can email them, hey, you know, fishermen and women, by the way, if you didn't know, here's a new rule, takes effect in September.
Yes.
Here's a reminder of you have to update your fishing license. Here's a link to the state website, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So if you can provide them news on, this goes back to the events too, local events, laws, things that are happening within the community that might affect them, reminders of that, of when the sports season starts or when the first day of school is.
That's all great. Like if you can give people real useful information, then what you're doing is you're also motivating them to open your next email.
Yeah.
Right? So I really like this infotainment section because there's so many possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity really to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a watchword here at Cold Essie is, you know, we try to be useful to our customers, not just sell stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So if you do the same thing, I'm sure like us, your audience will grow.
Yeah, absolutely. So so we'll finish off with maybe some just design concept stuff because you mentioned it.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, so what you don't want to get caught up in when you're making emails is making your email look like it came from Lowe's or Home Depot, or you mentioned before the White House Black Market dress store.
Yeah, you don't need Ann Taylor and Ed Hardy style emails.
Yeah, so those emails are really like they're branding vanity plays. You know, they are looking to come up with the most impressive looking email that they have teams that work on this. A friend of mine works on the Lowe's email team.
Right.
It's a whole team of people. When you get the email, there's like, I don't even know, 14 employees.
that worked on this one email.
That work on these emails. And so you cannot put yourself to that standard because you do not have, you know, 14
you know,
people.
You don't want to hear the story about when they tried 13-point text instead of 14. That was just
yeah,
it was a
that's
disaster.
What you ran into. So what can you do if you're working with MailChimp or one of these types of software, MailChimp,
Constant Contact,
you know, any of them. There's a ton of them out there. Just jump on the internet and search for email marketing software, you know, stuff like that. But they're all going to have, nowadays, they're all going to have like little templates that you can build in, you can drag and drop things in,
mm-hmm.
and you pick two that you like that are simple. Start with the easy ones.
Thank you for saying that because, you know, even like, so we've been using MailChimp for at least 8 years.
Something like that.
For at least 8 years, we've been using MailChimp and still the templates that I use have like the image box, the text box.
Mm-hmm.
That's the template that I use.
Yeah.
You know, what you don't want is you don't want to pick a complicated template. Now you feel like you have to fill in all those boxes. So I agree.
Because you do. Otherwise, you feel incomplete,
right.
You know. So here's the two formats that I recommend you pick.
Yes.
Whatever place you're using. One is a simple graphics and text. So it typically will go with like a header text, you know, new shirt styles.
Yes.
An image with a picture of those. Some body text. Here's all our new shirt styles that we've got coming out. Blank, blank, blank. And then a link or multiple links to where they can see them online or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Or the link could be your phone number or any call to action. You know,
right.
Email me, call me, something like that.
CTA. That's what
CTA,
that's what the
yeah,
business
just
calls
a, just
it.
A call to action down there. And the way that you get that picture in the top, you know, it's great if you do graphic arts and you can make a cool little, you know, montage of your products and stuff like that. But if you don't have that ability, you take your phone out of your pocket, you take a shirt that you just made, or a picture of your shop, or a picture of a shirt coming out of a heat
you
press.
You standing next to something.
Yeah, you standing next to something, you at an event, you know, whatever it might be, a picture of a team of people wearing shirts you just made for them.
Yep.
Take a picture of it. The picture from your phone will be a high enough resolution to look good in an email.
Yeah, oh
and
yeah.
And then you could take that picture, put it into the email software, and they have editing tools in there where you can crop it if you want to or something like that.
Right.
But don't get like a too complicated with it.
No, and don't err on the other side. So if you have to flip your phone to take the picture, then that won't work. Okay, you've got to have like a relatively decent phone.
You've got to have no flip phones, no
Blackberries, really. Like, you've got to have something that does a good job. So, and in fact, those pictures will probably be too good. They'll be too big. The file size will be too big, and your email software will help you automatically.
Will help you size it down. Right. Those pictures will always look good, and you'll get better at taking them, you know, with understanding the lighting, you know, all types of things you could do. Take the shirt that you just made and bring it outside and put it on the table outside, you know, or if you have a mannequin, put it on the mannequin, you know, if you have a stand-up light, use that. Try with the flash on and off.
Google how to take interesting pictures,
you
know, and do that. And, you know, really, pictures aren't even mandatory.
No.
Right?
So the next one is just text only. So all of these email ones, typically, they'll have 20 different templates. If you scroll all the way to the bottom almost, because usually at the end, it'll just say text. And you click on that one, and that's just writing a regular email.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Jane. I want to let you know that we've got some new shirts on board. Here's a link to my Facebook page. I mean, you can keep it really simple.
Yeah.
Here's a link to my Facebook page where I just uploaded pictures. So if you click on there, you're going to get to see pictures of the new styles. If you're interested, give me a call. Whatever it might be, you can keep that simple. So that is a personal letter. Usually it's signed by you, a person.
I would do that.
With text only. Usually it comes from a person. And then some sort of a call to action at the bottom. Call me, click here, you know, here's a link to my website, here's a link to my Facebook page.
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, like when you throw in the ability to just do the text emails, and you have to realize that's okay, because depending on the marketing study that you look at, text emails either perform slightly better than emails with images or slightly worse. So you just pick the study that you want to follow. Text and these graphical kind of emails perform most of the time very closely.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to let the idea that you have to take the perfect picture stop you from doing the email.
Yeah.
Like, we're always looking for those opportunities. Don't accept any opportunity to give yourself an excuse.
I've been in that trap where I want to put, you know, six different products in an email.
Yeah.
And then now I've got to get a picture for each. But now I got to do now I got to go take all those pictures. Now I got to look at all those pictures and upload all of them.
Oh, this one's
and
too
again,
dark.
This one's
I got to
do dark. This one doesn't match. Now I'm resizing. And then you get sucked into this black hole where you're 3.5 hours into an email and you've gotten nowhere.
Are you ragging on me because it's taken us like 2 months to still work on the bling on the new Cold Etsy bling site?
No, not at all.
I feel like that's what's happening right
but
now.
But it's true though, because we get into those things.
Yeah.
So that's why I recommend simpler is better. And then as you get better and you want to go deeper and deeper and deeper, then you can, with experience, you're going to get better at it. But if this is your fresh start, pick one of those two things.
Yeah, hey, I think that the show notes, if you are just getting started or if you haven't implemented a real email program into your business yet, these show notes, you should print them out and pin them on the wall somewhere. So every time you're sitting down and you're trying to think of what you can do to generate more business, or you're looking at your marketing from scratch like we do every once in a while, you know, you'll look over there and say, oh, here are the four types of emails that I can send. I'm already sending my intro email because that's mandatory. You know, what else do I have here?
Yeah. And the great part about this is if you're really working on a tight marketing budget, this stuff is really, is essentially all free.
Yeah,
that's great.
You paid for the email.
Yeah.
With your time or
with
advertising.
Exactly. Like you've already paid for their email, you've gotten it. Now at this point in time, you could put in a little bit more time. And this is something that, I mean, you could be in less than an hour, this whole thing could be done.
Yeah, that's true. Know?
So it's really cool.
Just like this podcast.
Yes, there we go then. Okay. So then we should wrap that up.
I think we should. okay, guys, once again, I think this is a great episode to print out the show notes and keep them handy. If you're not sending email out, you should.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. Thanks, everybody. This has been Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
You guys have a great business by sending emails.
There you go. Thanks.